from afar. It's just too much miscommunication, too much diva. You know, I just don't. I've heard so many stories, and I like Antonio. He plays as hard as anybody on Sunday, and he practices hard. But he's got to make better decisions off the field, be on time, do some of those little things.
That was new Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians. Still kind of sounds weird to say on the Adam Schefter podcast as we are into the 7 o'clock hour on Mad Radio Sports Radio 610. This is something that Wade Smith brought up on our show on Wednesday, or on Friday last week in the 9 o'clock hour. He suggests the idea of franchising Clowney and trading him to Pittsburgh for Antonio Brown. And we wanted to talk about the Antonio Brown thing, just sort of,
I don't think any three of us think it's a good idea, but just for the sake of, okay, if somebody thinks it's a good idea, are we so certain that it's not a good idea? Because, like, your first knee-jerk reaction sometimes can be way wrong because you're thinking of all the negativity of Antonio Brown, and somehow we, and like, people like Peter King, who said he wouldn't put Antonio Brown on his, like, not even his all-pro list, but, like, his top 10 list or something ridiculous. People forget, like, how just damn good he is. Why wouldn't you want to bring him here? My first thought, honestly, is I've seen diva wide receivers and their effect on young quarterbacks before. And the one I'll go to, the first one I think of isn't even a wide receiver. It's Eli Manning and Jeremy Shockey. You remember that Eli Manning took a huge leap forward the year Jeremy Shockey got injured. That's when they went to their first Super Bowl because Shockey was constantly demanding the football. And Shockey, who has this outsized personality and works his butt off. Like people say, Antonio Brown works his butt off. Jeremy Shockey worked his butt off, did all those things right, wasn't getting arrested, whatever, all those things. But he was a diva in a lot of respects. And he and Eli forced the ball to Jeremy Shockey a lot. All of a sudden, Shockey's out, and Eli starts distributing the ball. He's not making, you know, you get the sense that Eli's kind of a pleaser, you know, where Peyton's a demanding, like, I'm going to get what I want. You need to do this for me. I could very much see Eli being like, well, gosh, Jeremy wants to be happy. So, okay, here we go, Jeremy. We'll throw you the ball. We'll keep you happy. So I would worry that Deshaun Watson might be affected somehow by having like a demanding diva like that. I also look like I don't want some dude that's going to come in here and have any amount of jealousy for DeAndre Hopkins at all. And I can't imagine Antonio Brown not having jealousy over DeAndre Hopkins.
He definitely would. He's a tool. He's a giant tool. This is established. This is not going out on a limb or taking a personal shot. Everything Antonio Brown has done this season, from allegedly throwing an ottoman off of a balcony that almost hit a kid to the end of the season stuff where he's basically walking out of practice as they go and prepare for an end of the season playoff game. Like, what about Antonio Brown makes you want to have him as a teammate other than his unbelievable talent? And his unbelievable talent, it can get you far, but to deal with that every single day of every single week.
It's the Terrell Owens conundrum, which is you can't deny his talent, but at some point, like, imagine Terrell Owens, like, he's sitting out there and for the rest of his life, he'll never fully grasp that, like, he was never wronged in any of these situations, that he was just so unbearable, so incredibly unbearable that people couldn't keep him around and didn't want him around because of his personality and because he would sell his quarterbacks out. And that even, like, when he was tearfully defending Tony Romo, it was all a ploy because nobody trusts what you're doing. So that's really hard to do. They should have put, you know, Antonio Brown throwing that ottoman out the window. That's Gillette commercial material right there.
Toxic masculinity.
At the end of the commercial, they should have had one of his his travel mate be like, yo, Antonio, no. Don't throw the ottoman off. Now let's go shave. I'm just... Mike, you asked me during the break which guys I played with were the hardest workers who were divas or were not divas. And I guess I was lucky. I'm having a hard time because like some of the best players I ever played with, I would say like the two best receivers, obviously Andre Johnson and Jimmy Smith.
Yep.
Jimmy Smith, if it weren't for his personal demons, probably would have been a Hall of Famer.
I agree.
Jimmy Smith was absolutely incredible. Jimmy Smith, and for the youngsters out there, he was the receiver was the Jimmy Smith of the NFL before the cornerback, and he was a better player than Jimmy Smith, the cornerback.
Yes.
So Jimmy Smith, the receiver with Jacksonville, was a guy that was drafted in the second round by Dallas, had medical issues, Crohn's disease, lost a chunk of his intestines, ended up getting cut by Dallas, goes to Jacksonville kind of as an afterthought, and then becomes an all-pro caliber player. He came in 1 year, had additional Crohn's disease issues, had to lose a big chunk of his intestines, and ended up being a Pro Bowl player that year. Like, he was just awesome. Problem is, he liked the cocaine a little bit. But this is a guy.
All the drug, though.
This is the guy that guys like Antonio Brown or Terrell Owens just will never get. Because Terrell Owens will say things like, well, I never get arrested. I'm not, like, why do people think I'm a bad guy? Because nobody wants to be your teammate.
Yes.
Like, I would take 10 Jimmy Smiths over a single Terrell Owens or whatever. I'll take one Jimmy Smith over 10 Terrell Owens. Because, like, Jimmy Smith was an awesome teammate. Jimmy Smith wasn't, like, whining about not getting the ball. Jimmy Smith wasn't a jerk to people on the team. Like, he was an awesome guy who just had some personal demons. But around the locker room, in the facility, he did everything the way you would want to do it, and he was one of the very best players on the team.
I totally get that. I mean, listen, I respect the fact that Albert Breer did some reporting after the whole stuff with Brown went down 2 weeks ago, and he pointed out, hey, everybody knows Antonio Brown is the hardest working player in the Steelers building. And I respect that part of it, but there's also, let's imagine in your building where you work, if there's someone who's equivalent, but he lets it known that he's the hardest worker,
yeah,
and he's tough to deal with, and he's like admonishing you for your work ethic, that's going to drive you crazy even if you objectively respect that person's work ethic.
Right. And
you know,
Andre obviously is the other guy who is like the perfect teammate. He just was an awesome guy, never wanted or needed attention. I'm not saying that wanting or needing attention is inherently bad. It's when it goes over the top. And it's just interesting when a guy like Andre is the exact opposite of what you think of as the diva. I guess the question then becomes, okay, well, you know, ultimately, what did it get for Andre? What did it get for Jimmy for those teams? I would say that any Super Bowl team in the league would want those guys on their team. It was just they weren't on teams that were good enough to win a Super Bowl. Compared to, I guess, the worst Steve I ever played with. I wouldn't name any of them by name, but usually there are guys that didn't have the talent that was matched up with their attitude. That's a quick get out of town.
We're discussing Antonio Brown and what teams and kind of localizing with the Texans think about bringing somebody like this in. I did not get to this when Wade Smith was in and suggested a trade Clowney for Antonio Brown. But I will say this. I'm actually confident in the Texans receiving core. And I would go as far as to say, yeah, when you look at DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller and Kiki Kutsi, to me, the upside is that these receivers would complement one another the best of any receiving core in the NFL if they can stay healthy. So for me, the question is what you do with that fourth spot. Like the fifth spot, they can bring back Vincent Smith. They can do whatever they want with a young guy. The big question about this offseason with the receiver is who do they bring in as insurance for the health issues with especially Fuller,
right,
and to a lesser extent Kiki.
Well, and the other interesting part of it too is, regardless of Fuller's health, if you look at roster composition, I guess one of the arguments for not re-signing Clowney is you don't want too much money invested in one spot. Well, if you look at the roster, if there's one place that they've invested a lot of draft equity, it's the wide receiver position.
Yes.
So you've already got two first rounders as wide receivers. Are you really in the business of like trading away one of your first round picks for yet another, basically be the equivalent of a first round pick plus free agency for Antonio Brown? I don't think so. I don't think that's a wise way to construct your roster, to be that top heavy with wide receivers paired with an inept offensive line and tight end core.
Yeah, it's a lot of money to be giving to a guy who's going to get mad when you give him 18 targets in the game. I mean, I keep going back to, I mean, he was jealous of Juju Smith-Schuster. He's jealous of other guys that are getting the ball on this team. That is just so bleeping ridiculous, and it's part of a culture as well that Mike Tomlin allowed to fester in Pittsburgh and has for a long period of time. And then eventually it gets to a point where there's no coming back. And I think there are some who think that maybe if Antonio Brown were to get a change of scenery, that potentially he could, I guess, calm down a little bit, but I'm not really sure that could happen. I think he's gotten to a point now where, as you mentioned, Mike, he's the person that wants everyone to acknowledge at all times that not only is he the hardest worker on the team, he is the best player on the team.
Yes.
And because of that, he needs special treatment, even though that special treatment doesn't necessarily help him become a better player.
I guess, you know, we'll have to ask Wade, and Wade actually just sent us a clip of Emmanuel Sanders we'll have to play since we're arguing it's Wade in absentia. I do. The one thing I'd want to ask Wade when he comes in on Friday, and also you should listen to
Smitty and
Wade,
Trap.
Smitty and Trap.
That's tonight, right?
Tonight, 10 to 12 p.m. They do a really good job. People love them. But I guess the other question I'll have for Wade at that point is, like, has he ever played with somebody that's as big a diva as Antonio Brown reportedly is?
Well,
because the personalities can be a pain in the ass. I don't know if Wade ever played with like a genuine jackass. Well, and I shouldn't call him a jackass, but a genuine diva.
On that note, we're discussing Antonio Brown and some of his, you know, issues as far as being a diva and all that. Really interesting text, DWI attorney text line, 713-572-4610. 744 guy says, I know it's weird, but what if they're an offensive tackle with problems like the ones Antonio Brown brings? Would you bring him in? If there was an offensive tackle who was that good but that much of a diva.
Like if Incognito was a tackle.
You know what?
But it's bring him in! Rare.
Bring him in!
It's so rare for there to be an offensive lineman diva, though.
Bring him in!
The qualities of being a diva are so against what it takes to be a good offensive lineman that I don't know. That's a tough one.
Is Taylor Lewan approaching that territory?
Taylor Lewan, the one thing that saves him is that he seems to be all about the squad. You know, like
masculinity,
I think
too.
He likes getting the attention.
Taylor hated the Gillette ad. He hated it.
Taylor Lewan threw all his Gillette ads.
Taylor Lewan drove to CVS and like basically crashed all the Gillette stuff out of
there. That is the, if I'm thinking about various offensive lines I've known, the guys that you can get away with being kind of an egomaniac as long as you're all about the boys at the same time. Where if you're not all about the boys, those guys will resent you more than anybody else will resent you.
Lock of the century, the Titans as an offensive line all grow out beards in solidarity. Beards for boys being boys. Hashtag get it started.
We're into hockey for the moment and not shaving.
Who would have the worst facial hair on that offensive line?
Probably Ben Jones.
I feel like Ben Jones has zero facial hair too.
Ben had had stuff growing out of it.
Yeah, because I don't think
hide moonshine in there.
I don't think Ben Jones can grow a full beard.
I don't either. I think he's got baby face.
Yeah, that's the problem. That never looks good.
That's a good quality to have, though. He'll keep looking young forever. That'll help him out in the negotiations. That's almost as good as having big biceps and tattoos. Nobody's a bigger sucker for biceps, big biceps and tattoos than NFL personnel people. Look at that guy. Look at that guy. He's gritty and tough, I bet.
I'm not a huge fan of the idea of adding a big diva, especially at a lot of money. But listen, if you can protect the quarterback for this Texans team, then you can be a diva all you want, because that is how desperate I am to protect this quarterback. That's where I stand. Fair?
Yeah. I mean, bring anyone in, please.
All right.